Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, what a privilege it is to come before you, Lord, to learn of you, to learn from you, Holy Spirit. I thank you, Jesus, for what you have provided and for getting it through sometimes our thick noggins and into our hearts, the reality and the simplicity of what it is to be able to live in divine health, to be able to receive healing that you have already given, and to be able to live this out and get others healed. Lord, it is a privilege to be with you, to have your manifest presence here this morning. And I want to thank you for, wow, the supernatural, in effect, Amen. Taking place today, Amen. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Now, I'm going to tell you, I expect healing. Every time I teach healing, every time I minister to somebody, I expect healing. This is not a big deal. This is normal Christianity, right? This is what it's supposed to be. This is it. We're not just going to go up in the clouds here in theory. This is a reality of where we live under the grace of God. It is given to us. It is our, and I want you to understand this. When you were born again, you were made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When you became righteous, and I'm not going to go into all the message on this right now, but when you became righteous before the Lord, I mean every sin wiped away, you became a co-heir, a joint heir with Jesus, as Romans says. You became healed at that moment. It was yours, and it is your right. It is your right to be healed. It is your right to have healing manifested in your body. This is not a big deal for the Lord to do. It's not a big deal for us. It's a big deal for us to, a lot of times, to understand. And to get it, we can mentally understand it. Okay, that's what the Bible says. Okay, it's really that's what the Word of God says, that is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, right? To us, to get it into us. This is what this is all about. Getting the Word into us so we just simply believe God. Welcome to healing class today. It is a privilege to be here with you. Let me shoot this out real quick. I want to know why you're here. Why are you in this class? Some of you have been in healing class. I mean, we started this 9-10 years ago in healing school. Why are you here today, Mary?
I want to keep it fresh and sharp.
Good.
That healing is ours. It's everybody's.
Cool. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? Why are you here? Kim.
I'm just at my breaking point. With the marriage is really hard, and I'm going through medical treatments right now
medical treatments?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we need a breakthrough with our finances, or I can't get the treatments on Monday. I need blood transfusions now, and the medicine, I can't take it anymore orally. Everything has to go through IV.
Okay. So you're here, you're really here to be healed, to receive your healings that are already given to you in all kinds of areas, right?
But it's been a lifelong battle with infections.
How about we deal with this? You don't have to give it all to me right now, but I want to know why you're here. I don't need all the explanation right now, but I want to know why you're here. You're here to receive healing in all kinds of areas.
I can't do it. I'm not sure.
And you don't have to.
Praise God.
You understand? I mean, I want you to understand, you don't have to do the healing. The healing's already given to you. It's already yours. All you have to do is receive it. Just take it. Okay, that's part of healing class, is to teach you how to do this. Because we have such a hard time simply receiving from God. We think there's things we have to do, or there's things in the way. I'm going to touch on this today. This is what this week and next week are going to be about, is about how we receive. But I'm going to touch on maybe what's called a touchy area. John, why are you here?
For healing for Kim and myself.
Good.
Not more spiritual healing.
Oh, John, I'm glad you're here.
Amen.
Praise God. Yes. Praise God. Anybody else? Reggie, why are you here?
So I travel 2 hours to be here and then 2 hours home again. But I come here because I really enjoy being around people who walk in the Holy Spirit and who walk in healing. And that sadly, in our church humanity today, is unique, right? So I come here, right, basically to learn and be trained more, and particularly because I really like surrounding myself with people who truly do walk in the Holy Spirit, and that happens in this place.
Good. Praise God. Ronnie, why are you here?
Well, as believers, we still go through the trials of life, or with storms of life, we go through attacks. So it keeps us, like Mary said, keeps us sharp, mm-hmm. keeps us up on our toes in a sense, and keeps our faith strong.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody else? Why are you here? Why are you in this class? You've been here for years. Why are you in this class? Jack.
I want to walk in the power.
I want to walk in the power. Yeah. Good. Because you got it.
Amen.
Amen. Richard.
It gives me encouragement.
Gives him encouragement.
Yeah, in my battle against different physical problems.
Good. Praise God. All right. Now that you've shared that with me, let's talk about one more thing. Because I want to take a couple minutes on this. What is it that you understand about healing right now? Right this minute. And just give me one thing. What do you understand? That you know. You know it's in your heart. Gail.
It's a finished work.
It's a finished work. Ronnie.
Finished work.
Finished work. All right. What else? What else? What do you understand about healing? Jack.
It's mine.
It's yours. You own it. Not everybody owns it. It's yours. Good. What else? What do you understand? Come on. This is gonna be fast moving today. Let's go.
Walk it out.
Okay, you gotta walk it out. That's part of works. The works that go with faith. Mm-hmm. Putting an action to your faith. Okay, what else? Reggie.
It's real.
It's real. Yeah, absolutely. Just Ronnie.
We have to take it.
You got to take it. What else?
Just as sure as our sins are forgiven, our bodies are healed.
Just as sure as our sins are forgiven, our bodies are already healed. Okay, what else? Why else? What else? What else do you know? What else do you know? Reggie.
I know I've seen it.
I've seen it. Okay, I've experienced it. What else? Come on, let's go by the word. What does the word say? Gail.
I have the authority to administer it.
I've got the authority to administer it to myself and to others. Good. Praise God. What else? Anything? How about the power of your tongue to change your health and move mountains, those mountains that have to do with our health? What we speak. All right. How about the knowledge that it is, and again, it was finished, but it is already done. You do not have to chase after it. It's not like I got to go try to get my healing or beg for it from the Lord. It's already mine.
And yeah. It's free.
And it's free. Yeah. It's a free gift. Good. Ah, awesome. All right. Now, I expect healing. I expect it. I am amazed when it doesn't happen because it's so rare. I expect healing in this room today. Okay? Who needs healing? I know you, Kim. John? Who needs healing? Anybody else? Who needs understanding? Because you're going to get it today. Okay? Good. All right. Who needs to know how to do this? Good. Good. I want to stay excited about what God has done. I want to stay excited about what Jesus has provided through the cross. I want to stay excited about the reality of the supernatural just taking place because that's what he's given us and he's true to his word and he's faithful. He never, ever, ever fails. I want to stay excited about this. And everybody you speak to, you lay hands on, you touch, you talk to, you have a chance to minister to, you can get them healed, okay, along with you. Now, a couple weeks ago, I ran into somebody that said, I have no problem getting other people healed, but I have a hard time receiving myself. Why is that? That's part of what we're going to touch on today. Anybody else experience that? I did for a long time, okay? Long before I understood the grace of God. Now, go with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. I'm going to have you flipping around real quickly here because some of these things we're going to hammer on. In 2 weeks' time, I want to cover this. This short series, this week and next week, are called Hard Ground. Hard Ground. And it's called Hard Ground, titled Hard Ground for a Reason. You already know where I'm going, don't you, Gail? Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Listen. Now, who's Jesus speaking to?
Us.
This is Jesus speaking. Who's he speaking to?
Us.
Can you take this personal? Yes. He said, listen. Pay attention. Behold, a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Now, I'm not going any farther, because this whole message, this whole section of what I want to teach this week and next week, comes out of Mark chapter 4, the sower and the seed. When Jesus said, if you don't get this parable about the condition of the heart and what the heart produces of the seed, you're not going to get anything else. You're not going to understand the parables. You're not going to get it. You're not going to get the word in you. It's like you're obtuse in a sense. Not you are out here, but we are as people. You've got to get how the word works in your heart, because the heart is our biggest blockade. The heart is the thing that it holds us back. It hinders our healing. It can be really for us or it can be really against us. We can have all the mental understanding of healing and not receive what's already given to us because of our heart, because it's hard ground. When Jesus spoke about a sower went out to sow, and it happened as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside. Well, that isn't the wayside like what we think. That is the hard path, the path that was trampled down and walked on and trampled down and walked on and compressed. And it's like when contractors get ready to pour concrete and they use a tamper and they tamp down the ground hard, rock hard. The seed can't penetrate. Even though we think it should, and the ground is too hard. Now, that's what happens with our hearts, and we don't even recognize it a lot of times. So that's what this is about, is we're going to deal with hard ground this week and next week. When it comes to receiving healing by the grace of God, or the favor of God, the ability of God, through faith, having a hardened heart, and I'm telling you that every one of us are or have been there. When it comes to receiving your healing, the heart is our biggest enemy most of the time. In Zechariah chapter 7, verse 12, I want to touch on the Hebrew here because I want you to get these pictures. It's important. This is why Jesus taught in parables, so that we get the picture, the visualization of what this looks like. Who's got a diamond ring in here? Okay. I want you to understand. Who knows about diamonds? Anybody? Know anything?
They can cut glass.
They can cut glass. Yeah.
Cut color clarity.
Okay. That's not where I'm going. Let me read the scripture, though. Zechariah 7, verse 12. They, and he's speaking about Israel, under the covenant, which had the old covenant had healing in it. Healing's a done deal. It was by the law, but healing was a done deal. It was given by the covenant. Israel did not receive because, Zechariah 7, verse 12, they made their hearts like flint. In the Hebrew, it means they made their hearts. They made their hearts as hard as diamonds. That's what they did. Now, I'm going to tell you that God does not harden hearts. Anybody ever read in Exodus where God hardened Pharaoh's heart? You ever read about that?
Yeah.
And you think, well, that's not consistent with what you're saying there, Pastor. God allows, or God, people make the decision to harden their heart. Because if you read in Exodus, Pharaoh hardened his heart, and it says that God hardened his heart. People make the decisions to harden their heart, and God lets us. He says, I'm not going to stand in the way. Okay? When you go back in to study this, I'm telling you, God does not actually harden somebody's heart for them. When you've got somebody that has lifted themselves up as Ra, as God, they've been brought up as God, they think they're God, they believe they're God, they get worshipped as God, and who is this Hebrew God that thinks he's God? I'm not letting these people go. Who do they think they are? And even the Lord dealt with Pharaoh to show him he was God. Pharaoh ultimately, every time, hardened his own heart. Now, this is what Israel did to the covenant and to walking with the Lord. Back in Zechariah. That's what Zechariah was saying. You got to wake up, people. All right? They had hardened their heart like diamonds. That's pretty hard. Against the Lord and against the covenant, against the word. Do you think we're any different? No. Of course. We're New Testament, Bible-believing, under grace Christians. We wouldn't have hard hearts ever, would we? Who in the world could believe we have hard hearts? We do. All right? This is what happens. We harden our hearts because of the circumstances in the world, because of our upbringing, because of what we've been taught. We harden our hearts because of what our experiences are. We harden our hearts because of what the extraneous circumstances in our lives, our marriage are. We harden our hearts because of all kinds of reasons. And we harden our hearts. We do it. Yeah. Nobody does it. God doesn't do it. We do it. And we make the decisions to do it. And let me give you what this causes, all right? In Mark chapter 8, verse 17, don't go there because I want to begin to cover a lot more ground. But I think that this will speak to you as a revelation. Mark 8, verse 17, and this is only a portion of the scripture. I'll give you the background. Jesus had fed thousands of people with a couple of loaves and a couple of fish, supernaturally multiplied, given to them, provided for them. The provision was, it was supernatural. Here, out of the love and the goodness and the grace of God, his provision was there. That was for food. So Jesus and his disciples get in the boat and they're going to cross the lake. And they're reasoning, he said, beware of the leaven or the teaching of the Pharisees and the Herodians. I'm kind of covering a lot of, paraphrasing a lot of this. He said, why do you reason because you have no bread? Because they thought, well, we got to beware of this because we only got a loaf of bread or two loaves of bread between us. That's it. What are we going to do? What are you saying? They didn't hear. First of all, they didn't hear. They did not hear. They didn't hear with their ears and they didn't hear with their heart. That's what they didn't hear with. Do you not yet perceive nor understand? Is your heart still hardened? Now, when Jesus asked them why you don't perceive or you don't understand is because, first of all, they weren't hearing, they weren't thinking about what had happened. They weren't thinking about God's provision. They weren't thinking about God's word. They weren't thinking about the spiritual. They weren't thinking about that because they weren't cognizant of it. It wasn't a part of their life. The reality of God's word was not a part of their life at this point. And the truth, just the old covenant, but the old covenant word that they had been taught at that time. But it hadn't become real. And what Jesus did as Messiah, as the proof of being Messiah, had not become real. And the reality of the provision of God according to the word through Jesus Christ hadn't become real. And he said, what are you listening to? What are you hearing? Don't you get it? Don't you perceive? Now, this is the same thing he's saying to us. All right? Is your heart still hardened? Now, in the Greek, to be hardened means to be callous. Anybody ever had a callous? All right. What is a callous? What is it?
Dead skin.
Dead skin, yeah. It's a thickening of the skin and built up on an area that's been worn, right? Or had pressure against it, right? It's a thickening. It's a dullness on the skin. That Jesus said, is your heart still calloused? Is it blind? Blind, you have no sight, right? You can't see. You have no perception. Is it blind? Your heart can be blind. Your heart can be calloused. And the last part of this definition is petrified. The same thing as in Zechariah with the Hebrews. They made their heart like diamond. Our hearts can be petrified. calloused, blind, and petrified. Two, and this is what the rest of the meaning of this is, when Jesus said, is your heart still hardened? Is your heart still blind, calloused, and petrified to what was given through salvation? Is it, based on your perception, based on your understanding, is it still? Now, in the reality, when we're going to receive healing and we're going to live in divine health, this is going to be a normal part of our lives as born-again disciples of Jesus Christ, then guess what? Our hearts have to be softened and able to receive, and we have to be willing, but we have to recognize these areas where we've been in our hearts calloused, blind, or made them so hard they're petrified. Okay? Another area of hardening where people were hardened to Jesus doing hardly any miracles in his hometown. Their hearts were hardened, blind, calloused, and petrified in the Greek. Against him, he couldn't do very many miracles there because their hearts were hardened toward him. Sometimes our hearts are hardened toward Jesus because of he hasn't performed like we think he should, or he hasn't given us what we think we should have, or he hasn't done what he said he had already done or already did. And we harden our hearts just like they did. All right, so this is kind of an active way of looking at how our hearts get hardened. This is hard ground, folks. This is hard to break through. I have had in my own experience, you all know that I've prayed for a lot of people in hospitals, and I don't mean as a pastor or just as a pastor, but when we were in Bible school, and we were in, even before that, for decades, I've been ministering to people. We've seen a lot of supernatural, a lot of miracles, a lot of healings, Rosie and I both. The hardest people that I've ever had to work with to get healed are not atheists. Atheists are easy. Is that weird?
Yeah. Well,
they've got no background. They've got nothing. The hardest people are religious people. And I'm going to tell you, there's two denominations that are nigh unto impossible to get through to because of the legalistic beliefs. They are under the law and not understanding the provision of God that's already given. I'm not going to name the denominations. But it's nigh unto impossible to get through because their hearts are hardened, blind, calloused, and petrified against the spiritual aspect of healing. That's a reality. Many of us have come out of that. Right?
Yes.
Okay. There's areas of our hearts that are still probably hardened based on what we've learned or based on our experiences or what we've been taught as kids. That's why we're going to address this today. So that's my intro.
Very good.
Okay. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14. Please write this down or go to your app or your phone or your Bible.
Proverbs
28, verse 14. This is in tandem with Zechariah, chapter 7, verse 12. Proverbs 28, verse 14 says, he or she who hardens their heart will fall into calamity. When we choose or have chosen or made a way to harden our heart, when we do it, no matter what the excuses are or what the reasoning is, when we've done it, we fall into calamity. And part of that calamity is ill health or issues and problems in our life because we have hardened. We have hardened our hearts.
Amen.
Okay? All right. Our hearts can be sensitive to what the world says to us and about us, and hardened to the Word of God and what He says to us and about us. On the converse side, our hearts can be sensitive, and this is our choice, to the Lord and to His Word and to the truth, But we can, by degree, still have hardness toward Him, toward His Word and His provision in healing. Do you understand that a hardened heart doesn't mean it's necessarily completely hardened towards the Word and towards the truth and towards the reality of God's given gift to us about healing? It can be hardened in degrees. Have you ever felt like it's easier to receive healing in some area versus others? Anybody else? I have felt that. That's because our hearts are hardened in a particular area. Not through and through, just in a particular area. So they're hardened. We harden our hearts in degrees based on the same factors, circumstances, what we've been taught, how we understand the Word, different things like that. So, when there's hardness of heart, and we're getting the Word to us, the Word of God, the Word, this is the truth now, we're getting the Word to us, we've got a hardened heart, the Word comes in and our heart gets confused. Like, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take this. I'm hardened, but there's a confusion going on in there, inside of us. When we're confronted by the truth, and this is what limits our faith. This is what limits actually taking hold of and ownership of what's ours. It becomes a root of doubt and unbelief. A confused heart, which results is a result of, let me back up, a hardened heart that is partially hardened, receives some truth from the Word. It has a tendency to confuse the heart until we deal with the heart. And it makes it hard to receive, and it's also a root of doubt and unbelief. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Any questions?
Yep.
I want this as an interactive class. You got questions you can ask, okay? So, this is a part of how this, when we deal with the area of the heart, and this is a reality, and you all know that Pastor Rosie and I have been counselors for years, and all these things. It is out of the heart that we live our life. It is out of the heart that we believe. It is out of the heart we have faith. It is out of the heart we operate. We live our lives out of our heart. I don't care how mature we think we are as believers. We're faith people, and we're this people, and I'm word people, and I'm this, and I'm dogmatic. Duh, duh, duh. We're still living out of our hearts. Okay? So we receive from God in our hearts. Our heart is the biggest part of how this works. You know, we got our salvation, our healing, our prosperity, right? Our deliverance, our preservation, protection, our righteousness, our joy, our peace, and so forth when we believed in our heart that Jesus died and was buried and rose from the dead for us. That's how this all happened. So our heart plays a big part. How do you identify a hardened heart? I want you to think about this, okay? Because you're not going to know if your heart's hardened in a particular area if you don't know how to identify it, right? How do you identify it? Anyway, tell me what you think. Let's have some feedback here. Let's do some brainstorming.
Ask the Lord to show you.
Ask the Lord to show you. That is too simple. It's simple, it's just hard. Because we have to face ourselves.
Because then you have to listen to what He tells you.
You have to, yep, and you got to face yourself. Ask the Lord to show you, and He will. He will show you, but then you have to face it. It's simple, but it's hard. Mm-hmm. Kim?
Have somebody, another Christian believer, tell you.
Have somebody that you trust,
yeah,
knows, and cares about you, who will tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Yes. That's another way. Jude.
If you forget the goodness of God from the past, that's a sign of
forgetting the goodness of God during all your history. Okay? What else? How do you identify a hardened heart? Well, keep going here. Come on, we're brainstorming. You know what brainstorming is, right?
Mm-hmm.
No right or wrong answer. Just tell me what you think.
Apathy?
Anger
comes out as anger.
Yep, apathy, anger, okay. identifying a hardened heart. Those are some of the symptoms. Now listen, this is how a heart works. Imagine a tree rooted deeply in the ground. The tree grows up, and the tree, it's a fruit tree. It's got all kinds of fruit on it. I mean, some good and some really rotten. Some diseased and dead. Some luscious and ripe and appealing. Our heart is the tree that produces the fruit, all right, of what we believe. This is what we're cleaning up. We're doing a little cleanup here and identifying a hardened heart. Okay, what else? How else do you identify a hardened heart? Judy.
Unfeeling and no compassion.
Unfeeling, no compassion, no love.
And it starts with what you, in your mind.
Starts in your mind.
You focus on what you think about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it gets into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So if you get your focus off Jesus and onto whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
that gets into your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what causes you to be unfeeling or
that's right.
compassion.
That's right. Okay. Let me read you my definition. First of all, when you hear the Word of God, this is number one. And this happens a lot with Christians, particularly coming into the doctrine of grace. When you hear the Word, you hear the Word of God, and you don't see a change in your health. We're only speaking about healing here. Okay? Just this area. When you hear the Word of God and you hear the truth, and you don't see a change. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17, right? Faith should rise up when we hear the Word of God, and we should be able to believe God that He's given us already our healing, whatever area it is. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing that's too out of the box. So, when we hear the Word, and we think we believe, or we believe mentally, and we don't see any change, we are identifying there's an issue of hardness somewhere in our heart. Because when you hear the Word of God and your heart's soft and pliable, it's like, wow, it's just so easy to receive. It's so easy. The piece of cake. The Lord made this so easy, it's too easy. When we struggle to understand and receive by faith God's grace, His promises in areas of our life. Again, we come back to it's when we hear the Word of God and we don't see any change. Wow, I must have some hardness in me somewhere. Huh? You mean I'm the problem? Yes.
Awesome.
Yes, you're the problem. I've been too.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not receiving from God, the problem is not God. The problem is you.
Amen.
And me. Okay? It means we've got an area of hardness in our hearts. You want to hear how a hardened heart gets developed? Because that's what we're going to cover. It's important that we understand how to identify a hardened heart, but it's also important that we understand how the development of a heart into hardness happens. How does it happen? I don't get it. Let me give you an example. We've got junk going on. Let's just take the United States. We've got all kinds of unbelievable garbage happening in our country. And I'm addressing this again today because it needs to be. In all of this stuff that's going on in our country right now, things that we never, any of us over 40, never, I'm just 41, never thought this would happen. I'm lying, okay? When I say just over, I mean more than just. Okay. Is anybody sensing that they're getting a little hardened? Come on, be real.
Yeah. Oh,
for it.
Of course. Because we hate it. Because it's destructive and it's evil. Hardened hearts get developed. And we develop them. Just like Israel did. Just like the disciples did. We make our hearts hard. Woohoo! This is a big deal. All right? How does this happen? How does it happen? You ready?
Ready.
Because I've only got 7 minutes. And we're not in any way going to finish this. Number one, I'm just going to go through the points. A hardened heart gets developed by legalism, religious legalism. When you have to perform, when you have to be good enough, when you have to be right enough, when you have to be holy enough, when you have to, by your dress and by your actions and by your words, be perfect in order to be right with God instead of what Jesus did on the side. I'm not saying that go run amok. But what I'm saying is that when works, performance, mentality from religious legalism is a part of your life, it will harden your heart. That's why the grace of God is so freeing and so liberating, because it's all based in belief in the heart, not what we do. Not what we do. It's based on what Jesus did. Okay? Legalism and performance in trying to be good enough, we call it works, religious works, means that I'm trying to earn my healing. I'm continually trying to do the right things. Now, we can fall into this in understanding grace and faith. Okay, I'm doing the right things. I'm making the confessions. I'm making my stand. I'm believing God. I'm taking it by faith. I know that I own it. I know it belongs to me. And you can go right from out of a very, let's call it Anglican type, high church belief, religious, really religious, performance-based for being right with God, into the understanding of God's grace where it's not on you, it's on Jesus. And wow, my sins, nothing's being held against me, no penalties, no anything else. But you could start trying to do everything that you can do to receive from God. And it becomes, under grace, a religious, legalistic work. Religious legalism in any way, shape, or form will harden your heart. Because what happens is, as your heart gets hardened, you realize that you're failing and you're not cutting it, because you can never be good enough or right enough or holy enough. That's why Jesus had to do this. And as you do this, you get a, I can't make it. You got a failure mentality, and you begin to harden your heart against what God has provided, against the Lord himself, against Jesus, against the goodness and the mercy and the love of God, against his promises, or the gift is given. That's what happens to us. This is one area where the heart gets starting to develop a hardness. I'm a failure. I can't do this. Even under grace. Wow. Because you're still applying a works, performance, religious, legalistic mentality. All right. Ephesians 2 verses 8 and 9 says, Ephesians 2, verse 8 and 9 says, for by grace, God's grace in Greek means favor, but it means also God's ability and his power. By his ability, power, and favor, you have been saved. You've been healed. You've been healed. Amen. You've been healed. It's already done. Through faith. Just simply believing. Same way you got your salvation. I can't do this. Lord, be my Savior. Okay. Great. Come on in. And that is not of yourselves. It is the lavish gift of God to us who do not deserve anything. It says here. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anybody should boast in themselves, because we can't do it. Okay, so legalism, religious legalism, performance, whether you're under the law or under grace, doesn't work. It leads to a failure mentality, hardens the heart. Number two, I've only got time to finish up with this. Any questions on that? Be bold.
Is like when God says that we're healed, does that mean like we were created the way He made us perfect? And things are going to happen to us on earth, but we're going to return to our original, the way God made us.
Okay, it's a good question. Big question. Let me give you the paraphrased synopsis. It's a good question. When we were created, and I'm assuming you mean at birth.
Yep.
Okay. We were born into sin. We were born into a corrupt world. We were born into the effects of sin on the human race, which came through Adam and Eve. We were born into all of that sin has corrupted everything. You know, all the disease and sickness has come actually through the beginning, through sin, and has torn down everything that God made to be perfect until the return of Jesus Christ. So we're born into this stuff. That's why you see birth defects and why you see issues and kids with problems and things like that. It's not their fault and God didn't do it. It's being born into this world. The sin that is in this world, really, which is the authored by the devil, has through the generations so corrupted physically our bodies in so many ways and the planet, okay, in so many ways that we're not born perfect. It doesn't happen. At least most of us. So very few people are born, physically, no issues. But what the Lord did, what God did was, He says, I made the way to take you back to where I designed you to be before sin came in. And that was fully whole and fully healed. Okay? And that was through Jesus Christ, His death, burial, and resurrection.
So we can't really have that right here, right this second.
You mean have what?
When the Father, like I think of like, when the Father created His creation. I'm just going to say my cat, because I just think he is perfect. And I tell him he's a gift from God. God created him. I could just see God making this cat just for me, and I'm just for him.
Mm-hmm.
He brings me so much comfort. And that he was made perfect. I lost my train of thought.
That's okay. Think about it and come back to it, okay? Okay. Let me go on here. Mary?
When you were saying that, when you're under works and legalism and you throw up your hands and say, I'm done, I can't do it anymore. There's the two sides of it. Under grace, that's like, praise God, I can't do this.
Yeah.
I'm receiving the grace, but then I can't do this anymore.
Yeah.
So I got to start doing something else.
Yeah.
You know, so you're under that legalism. But
well, the point is that this is what hardens our heart.
Right.
Legalism in any form, even when you're understanding grace, legalism, performance, orientation, religious legalism will harden your heart because you're always going to be a failure and you're never going to understand why I don't get this, okay? And for you, I want you to understand that in Romans chapter 1, the whole creation suffers until the sons of God and daughters of God are revealed, and this will be last days. Yeah, God's goodness has given you a cat. I think that's awesome. It's wonderful. That's great. As far as healing goes, and I've got to shorten this up, as far as healing goes, God has made the way for you to be fully healed. It's already, the door's open. It's wide open. It's for you, and it's right now to be brought into exactly where He has for you in your whole health, in your life. That's it.
Just it's, not when He created me in heaven.
No, no, no. I mean, you know, I can't get into this aspect of, you know, in heaven when you before you were born, and I'm not going there. But when you were born, through your mother, You entered a world that is corrupt through sin, from the authorship of the devil. All kinds of diseases and sicknesses exist.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Got it.
And whatever happened, through the gene pool, anything else, okay, you probably got some.
I can heal it.
But, this is a big but. That was a joke.
Yeah.
But, through Jesus' atoning sacrifice, his burial and his resurrection, the promise, the guarantee, the contract was given to you that if you got born again, or when you got born again, healing was already yours. There's nothing you have to do to try to get it. Nothing. Except just believe him. Same way you believed for eternity. Okay? All right, let me finish up. Oh, can't. Sorry. That's it. Lord, thank you for this time, this class, and in Jesus' name, if anybody needs healing right now today, I'm excited. We got a prayer team people that are here to get you healed now.
Amen.
In Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's go get them. All right?